Welcome to the Carpool Podcast with Kelly.
And I'm like, you know what? One thing I've just never gotten really great at is like embracing the chaos and just like letting things go a little bit.
And Liz.
What is it up with me and just like, am I just like so in tune with like what's going on with the cookie game that I'm just like always discovering these things about cookies? Like, never forget Oreo Gate.
Your mom time off starts now.
Welcome back to the Carpool Podcast with Kelly
and Liz.
Happy Thursday, everyone. No truck dad.
We can't get him. I mean, how many followers does he have? Has he surpassed me? I think he has.
Probably.
No, not yet. Not yet.
Not yet, but he's climbing.
But he's climbing. I have less than 1,000 more followers than him.
That's so funny.
Things I never thought would happen.
Not even on my bingo card. It's so interesting. It's just interesting. I'm very proud of him. But anyway, I think we're going to get him on next week.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be in and out.
Yeah. I am not going to say too much, but just so everyone knows and could be sending some prayers, James is getting surgery done next week. And it's something that we knew he was going to have to get when he was born. And it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal, but he does have to go under for it. So I'm like, kind of, you know, hate that. Like, don't want to see that. But we have that this week. So I don't know. The recovery should be fine, but I'm stressed for my guy. And it's like our first thing, like big thing.
Going under is scary.
Well, they were like, they waited to do it until they wanted him to be at least 6 months, because if it's not like major surgery, like 101 or yeah. No, sorry, 9, I'm delirious right now. If it's not like super important, something like life threatening, they're like, don't wait, like wait until they're 6 months to put them under, yeah, for whatever reason. So it'll be fine. But I just like don't know what that recovery is going to look like. So I can't really commit to anything with you next week.
No, that's fine. And also, even if it is fine, take some time.
Yeah.
Because emotionally, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And I want to have Tyler on the podcast anyway. So it's kind of all working out.
I know. I really want to have Tyler on the pod. I like want to listen to what Tyler has to say about like to be on the pod. So
things are happening.
I know.
Things are happening. It is so...
Kelly's starting... You may have said this. Kelly is starting to ship things to my house because she doesn't know what house she's going to be at.
Well, and the problem is... Because I could just ship them to the new house, but... The shipping at the new house, we haven't really figured it out yet.
Like, oh, no.
Well, just because it's a long driveway with a gate. Mm-hmm. So there's a gate at the front of the house, which the people had there. So we're going to keep the gate closed. So like, where are my packages going
to
go?
Yeah. What are they supposed to do?
Well, that's what Tyler and I are figuring out. So Tyler's like, he's going to like build a box for my packages. Yeah,
like a package drop off. But you get big old packages.
Oh, I get sometimes. Like, and I get a ton of packages.
Yeah.
So then we're talking about like, okay, well, maybe during the day we'll keep the gate open. Cause like, what, I mean, whatever, like it's fine. So we're just trying to like work through that.
Yeah. Whoever moves into Kelly's house, her old house, though, is going to be so set with just the random PR packages that they're going to get that like have been signed up for years.
Prime drinks.
Oh, you get Prime drinks?
I'm
or like Chinette will come through, oh, yeah, every now and
Chinette,
then.
Chinette, Prime. Who else do I get? Like just, so, yeah, so random. I get Good Molecules, like brands I don't work with. It at all, but like you're just on the list and then you're on the list.
Yeah, once they like put you on there, you're...
But I've never moved in my adult life, so you can do what's called a change of address at the post office.
Yeah.
So like, I'm going to go to the post office and say, hey, change my address.
Yeah.
And then I guess like they'll reroute my mail.
Okay. But things could go... I'm sorry. Things could fall through the cracks. Kel, James is not... He just sleeps... I've kind of stopped talking about it on my Instagram because it's beating a dead horse. He sleeps so poorly. And I don't know what to do about it. And it's really getting to 8 months later, it's getting to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've told you, I didn't sleep through the night until she was 18 months old.
That's not very encouraging.
No, it's not. It's not. But it's, you're not alone.
Yeah.
I see you. I know you're tired.
I just don't get it. I just don't understand, because my friend who had a baby a few weeks before me, like her son started sleeping through the night like immediately. And James... has been a terrible sleeper since the day I met him.
Well, I think, do you have any plans in place as you like to convict me when I complain?
Well, yes, I'm going to work with a a sleep trainer. Because here's the thing, guys, and people who have opinions about sleep training, he doesn't sleep. And then if you're like, well, just bring him into bed, then people have opinions on co-sleeping. I don't care what your opinions are. We've tried it all. We've tried sleep training. It sucks. I hated it. And then he got sick and then I like stopped making him like, you know, got a cold and then I like stopped making him do it. We've tried the co-sleeping thing. He also wakes up then. Like nothing works. So I need a professional.
I did with Hattie. I worked with this woman named Susan Lohman, who I know I just said Hattie didn't sleep, but that's because I got lazy, not because Susan wasn't great. And those sleep coaches, they do help big time. Because she was getting Hattie to sleep through the night when she was like around 9 months old. And then, you know, things just went by the wayside.
Because it's like, yeah, they get sick and then you feel bad.
No, I know. But they're good. They'll be like, okay. Like I remember one time every day, luckily our daycare keeps really good track of like when they sleep. So I would send her what Hattie did that day. And she goes, okay, push her in a stroller. She's going to take a 15 minute nap, wake her up and then be up for two hours and 15 minutes and then lay her down at, you know, 6:45. And she should sleep till 11. And then she texts me at 11, be like, still asleep. Like they will hold your hand. No, it's very nice.
No, she seems great. She said, she's like, I will get your baby to sleep in 2 weeks. And I'm like, okay, sign me up. And she said, you have access to me 24/7 for 2 weeks. I haven't done my consultation with her yet, but like, this is what I'm like signing up for. So I have a consultation this week to get going. I've kind of been waiting until after his surgery because I knew that like once his surgery was going to happen, then I was going to feel bad and then sleeping was going to be weird again. So I'm waiting until after surgery, once he recovers, and then we're doing it.
Okay.
I need to sleep.
You're not going to hear it from me.
Yeah.
What do we have on today's episode?
We have a millennial word of the day. We have like just like dumps. Like I have like some articles that I pulled.
Okay.
And small taste drive. And
I don't even know what it is.
I know. I forgot. I have to go grab it. It's downstairs. And industry news. Ditch the drive through.
Jam packed.
So let's get into the millennial word of the day, where we learn Gen Z slang so we can be less lame. And today's word / trend is grandpa core.
Yeah.
Grandpa core.
Yeah. It's just like doing grandpa things. Like an example would be eating dinner at 5 and taking a walk with socks and sandals.
No.
Hmm.
No, it's not that. It's more fashion.
It's not like a weird fetish.
It's more
is it?
No, it's okay. Like fashion related. So you know how there's like coastal grandmother.
Yeah.
Coastal grandmother's out, grandpa core is in. So this is what this article says. It appears that the dad sneaker trend walked so that grandpa core or the eclectic grandpa trend could run. This nostalgic aesthetic consists of cozy cardigans, sweatshirts with school logos, tweed jackets, vintage watches, and essentially any styles associated with the stereotypical grandpas. Move over coastal grandmother, because grandpa core in all its retro glory is ready to steal the grandparent core spotlight.
Can you like pull the picture for me?
Yeah, I'll show you like some pics. I think it's like really big for like the very
trendy men. Is it for men or for women?
Well, okay. I was gonna say like for like the trendy men. Like grandpa core, like he's a young guy and he's in like slacks and like a cardigan sweater.
You know, here's the thing. It's been a while since I've thought that like some of these trends on men were attractive. That is not attractive at all.
You know what? I like some of it because I like the look of what men wore in like the 50s and
yeah, but that's when they like were the doing it to polo. Be polished, not to be hipster.
No, I know, but I do wish that maybe we had a little bit of that polish back every now and then.
I'll tell you what. Tyler, one thing about him is he's consistent, okay? The man wears the same pair of Levi jeans,
mm-hmm.
the same Ariat boots, and a V-neck. And a belt. That's all he wears.
Yeah.
It's a timeless look.
It's a good thing you're into it. And a Carhartt. Not even a Carhartt, just a Gildan highlighter yellow sweatshirt.
You know what? I've made the joke. I remember Tyler's always worn this like yellow highlighter sweatshirt. And we were dating. We had such an interesting, like, we've grown together so much because mm-hmm. I think when we first started dating, like, Tyler was just so convinced that, like, he was this country boy and I was this city girl. Because we did have very different backgrounds growing up. Like, he literally grew up on a farm and I grew up in St. Louis. And he grew up, like, an hour away from St. Louis. And he used to just, like, wear this yellow hoodie all the time. And it was like, hey, let's wear maybe, like, a navy pullover to our dinner date.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to take it so personally, like,
mm-hmm.
like, well, what, you should just like me for me and my yellow hoodie. And I'm like, okay, the drama. Like, the drama, first of all.
The total drama.
But now, you should have seen him in Vegas. Mom came over, because men's clothes are so hard. And Tyler doesn't have a lot of clothes, but he has really good pieces because, one, he gets most of my dad's hand-me-downs. And two, like, my parents buy him, like, one thing for Christmas every year. And, like, he never wears it.
It's a nice piece.
So my mom's, like, putting together outfits. And she's like, Tyler has nicer clothes than you, first of all. Like, because he just has, like, good quality pieces.
He's dated you long enough to have built up a collection of dad's hand-me-downs and Christmas gifts.
You could say he has a capsule wardrobe. Yeah. And mom starts, like, coordinating his outfits. Tyler could not stop checking himself out in the mirror. And now he's, like, not that he's all about fashion, but, like, now he understands, like, wanting to look good.
Cute.
Anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. Oh, so anyway, but now it's funny because for Christmas, I bought both the boys yellow hoodies. I bought George yellow hoodies because now I'm like, no, like, we wear yellow hoodies.
Yeah, because that's the Stumpy way.
Okay, speaking of Gen Zs and fashion, there's a trend circulating that's going to make me throw up my mouth.
Oh, great. What is it?
Capri pants.
That's a shame.
Here's the thing. There's nothing. It's really hard to have a capri style in when you're so tall.
Yeah.
Because people, or like even like an ankle length or anything, because it's always the question of like,
oh, no, ankle length is easier because then you take a full length jean and you wear it and then you're at ankle length. But yeah, you can't buy the ankle length as is.
No. So, like, they're happening. The Pinterest girls are all over. Like, this is what's coming our way.
Oh, well, okay. Well, she could make anything look good, so I don't put much merit into her. That is a cute outfit, though.
Right there, I don't like that. There they are in capris.
Capris are such a strange length.
I know, it's like you just kind of just sit with it.
I feel like that's not going to be forever. I think that that's going to probably stay where it's at, because unless you have Gigi Hadid's legs, I don't think that's gonna, like, that would look horrendous on me.
Elizabeth, I disagree.
I need to see a non-model wearing it.
Well, that's not happening yet, because
that's what I'm saying,
because like only the Pinterest models are wearing it. But I think we will be wearing capris next year.
I'm going to say it right now, and I would love to. I'm not going to buy capris. It's just not going to happen. I never bought the long denim skirt. Still don't feel like I need to. So I feel like this is going to be the similar thing. The only difference between capris and the long denim skirt is just not functional. And I am in a functionality point of my life where if it's not comfortable and if I can't like bend down in it, I'm not going to wear it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, but I don't think that's going to be a thing for me.
I have a bad feeling that I'm going to be on here in 90 days and be like, okay, I'm kind of into the capri trend. Like, but no, I won't, because I'll be pregnant. Okay, maybe I'll miss it then.
Yeah, I think it's going to come and go.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll miss it. And I won't feel pressured because I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Okay. Taking capris off my dump. Okay, do you want to go?
Well, I kind of want to do my little taste drive slash this. I have an article associated with it. So this past weekend, some of my friends came in town. They live in Peoria, Illinois, and they brought a box of Girl Scout cookies. And I'm looking at these Girl Scout cookies, and they're Thin Mints, and they look different from the Thin Mints that I have.
What?
on the box and the actual cookie, my Thin Mint is perfectly round and this Thin Mint is like scalloped. And this other Thin Mint, I haven't tried them both back to back. That's what we're going to do. But I swear it had a mintier flavor. So now I'm like looking at the boxes.
Are you sure there's were Girl Scout brand?
Yes, Kelly. 100%.
What?
So then I'm doing some research because I'm like, I'm confused because they don't look this, like they have the same pictures of the Girl Scouts on the box, but the cookies look different on the box and the cookies look different in the box. Girl Scout employs two different cookie kitchens. ABC Bakers and Little Brownie Bakers. And depending on which kitchen you get your cookies from, you'll be getting something different from folks in other parts of the country. It's by like location. Like, okay.
Because Peoria is not that far from
Peoria. No, I know. So I bought mine in St. Louis. They bought theirs in Peoria. And then my other friend, she bought hers in like Naperville, Illinois. And hers look different from these Peoria ones too. So I'm really confused. So here's where they're different. So the Thin Mints, this is the difference between the two. The Thin Mints, one is scalloped and one is round. The Samoas have a different name entirely if you get them from the other bakery. And they're called Caramel Delights. And tagalongs, if you get them from the other bakery, are called peanut butter patties.
Disgusting.
And do-si-dos are called the peanut butter sandwich.
It's disgusting. Why the name change?
I don't know why
the name change. They're all Girl Scout cookies.
Brand, yeah. So that I don't know. So I am going to go grab both of our boxes. Like, I want you to look at the, I need your live reaction, and then we're going to try them both to see if the Thin Mints taste any different.
Okay.
Okay. Here you go, Kel. Look at the boxes.
So why are these, both of these going to be called Thin Mints, which is stupid.
Yeah, I don't know. They're both called Thin Mints.
Let's take a look. Look at the nutrition facts. Are they identical?
The nutrition facts are the same. The ingredients look like they could be slightly different, but I think it's mostly all the same.
Okay, let's taste them.
Okay. They're also packaged a little bit differently. The ones that we get come in a clear container. These come in a foil container.
Hold on, give me one. I want to like
hold. I need you to like. I really was convinced in the moment that the other ones.
Who makes the scalloped edged ones?
Scalloped is by ABC Bakeries.
This looks like trash. I can tell you, Brownie Bakeries is I think going to be the superior.
Yeah, I agree. Isn't that pretty crazy? Okay, we're gonna try them both, and we'll let you know.
I mean, they're similar.
No, like they're the same, except I think the scalloped, the ABC Bakery ones have like a mintier taste. Like I get.
Yeah.
I feel like I just ate a mint.
I can't believe they're made by two different kitchens. I can't believe they're called different things. I can't believe they look different. I'm like kind of shook to my core.
I know. It was like really a crazy thing that we like.
No, like what a discovery.
Through. I know. Such a discovery. What is it up with me? And just like, am I just like so in tune with like what's going on with the cookie game that I'm just like always discovering these things about cookies? Like never forget Oreo Gate.
Never forget Oreo Gate.
When I noticed I swear I was the first person to notice the shrinkflation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So... anyway.
Well, that was kind of chaotic. Kind of like the next thing on my dump.
Okay, what you got?
I wrote down, embrace the chaos.
Okay.
I am, if I can like get a little real with you, I'm like, there's a lot going on right now. Like there's a lot going on. We are currently like trying to like fix a house, get out of our house as soon as possible. Tyler's like basically moved half of my belongings to the new house. It's just crazy. I'm pregnant. I'm exhausted. I'm realizing I'm going to have another baby.
That's crazy.
Which is like going to be a lot of kids. And I'm like, you know what? One thing I've just never gotten really great at is like embracing the chaos and just like letting things go a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I like so have. It's just a very hard mindset for me to be like, OK, you know what? I'm going to put the kids to bed and I'm going to sit in bed and watch Love is Blind and do nothing. Because I'm always like, well, I can't do that till the kitchen's clean. And while I'm cleaning the kitchen, I should do a load of laundry. And while I'm doing a load of laundry, I should pack George's lunch. It's like, I can just never like just be like, you know what? I'll clean the kitchen later. Clean the kitchen in the morning. Like I can't let myself relax. And lately I've fallen so behind on laundry, which, you know, I pride myself on my like laundry. Mm-hmm. So I have been trying to be like, okay, certainly I'm not going to, like, when I have another baby, like, it's not like this is going to be easy, or like, this is just going to be my reality for the next couple of years. So I'm really going to try to embrace the chaos. And then I was reading this devotional, and it's by Emily Lay. You can find her on Instagram, Emily L-E-Y. And she has like a morning and night one. And she had one all about like the joy and the journey. And it goes, this is the line that I liked. There's so much joy to be found in the process of living, not just when life is cleaned up. And I liked that.
Yeah.
And then she goes, consider the perfect afternoon, the delight of a kid in a swimsuit with water hose in the background, in the backyard, bare feet stomping through the mud, the squeals, the laughter, the mess of it all. Sounds perfect, doesn't it? It's like, yeah.
I think it's romanticizing. It's embracing the chaos, but I think it's also like romanticizing the chaos.
No, let's roll, Elizabeth.
Like, you know that one, we've yes. all heard the guy who's like, the handprints that aren't cleaned up, the toys that aren't cleaned up, the mess in the kitchen. One day, all of that will be gone, and it will be gone far too soon. And you're like, okay, I'm not trying to cry, but
no, I'm obsessed.
It's like romanticize the sticky.
We romanticize sticky so many other countertop stupid things in our life.
Yeah.
I'm going to romanticize the chaos a little bit.
Yeah.
That is so. You're like so well read.
Thank you. Thanks.
Action item, romanticize the chaos.
And if all else fails, something that I have found to be very helpful is when I need to clean the kitchen and I really, 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 really don't want to. If you put yourself on a time lapse and then you like, you can't stop because your time lapse is going. And also you can't look at your phone because your time lapse is going.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go back. You when you know you're on camera, you move a little quicker. And totally. When you're feeling like you're doing a time lapse, you move a little bit quicker. And then you got to go watch your progress, which is fun. And also throw it up on Instagram and see if anyone else wants to watch it.
Throw it up on, put it on your story.
See what sticks.
See if you, who
put cares? Pick a song in the background about cleaning or dishes.
I'll tell you one thing. A man who gets a lot done in the day is the truck dad.
Yeah.
Maybe he's onto something with time-lapsing himself for everything he does.
I'll tell you what. I think he just might be.
Romanticize the chaos. Time-lapse your evening, your kitchen cleaning. Live, laugh, love.
Live, laugh, love.
And today's episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscription, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. You guys, Rocket Money just came in major clutch for the car mom, actually, because we got all new credit and debit cards for the business. And one thing that was really stressful was, wait, what are all my subscriptions? Because I got to make sure business runs as usual. I got to make sure we're like paying for the website, paying for the course, paying for all of our automated bills. And I was able to go on Rocket Money and not find and cancel them, but find them and make sure that I could change the credit card information to every single one. And it made it so easy.
Didn't even think about using it in that way.
I know. And like there's nothing more inconvenient than having to like make sure all your things on auto pay, mm-hmm. you know, don't get disrupted. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/carpool. That's rocketmoney.com/carpool. rocketmoney.com/carpool. Okay, Liz. Do we have anything else, or should I just go to industry news?
I think it's time for industry news, Kel.
Okay. I have some Illy 5 content.
Okay. For those who don't know, Illy 5 is explain like I'm 5.
Okay, so this... We're going to go on a journey together. This is important, though. Okay. So stick with me. And I've honestly been researching this all morning because it's a topic I didn't know much about. But I was scrolling on automotive news and there's like this big headline. GM receives $26 million in federal funding for hydrogen fuel cell medium duty trucks. GM said it will work with Southern Company, an electric and gas utility company, to deploy a hydrogen fuel cell powered medium duty truck at work sites in Georgia. And here's why this is so interesting, because all we're hearing about these days is what, Elizabeth?
EVs.
And I forgot and just haven't done a lot of research about there's other ways to power cars that isn't just gasoline.
Okay. Yeah.
And there was this really big movement for hydrogen. And it's like, what is hydrogen? Like, what is it? And like, why do we not do it? So then I did some more digging. Hydrogen fuel cells, vehicles, everything you need to know. They're related to electric cars, but they have pros and cons that make them very different. Okay, so first things first, there's only about 15,000 hydrogen powered vehicles on the US right now. And most of them are in California, but like there's millions of EVs.
Okay.
While electric cars are getting the attention, with the majority of manufacturers focusing on making them dominate by 2030, hydrogen vehicles are staying in the background for now. Here's everything you need to know. This, did I say this is from Car and Driver?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, this is from Car and Driver. It's excellent. Okay, so then I'm like, what the flap even is a hydrogen car?
Yeah.
Okay. I gotta find it. A hydrogen fuel cell vehicle, HFCF for short, uses the same kind of electric motor to turn the wheels that a battery electric car does, but it's not powered by a large heavy battery, but by a fuel cell stack in which pure hydrogen passes through the membrane to combine with oxygen from the air, producing the electricity that turns the wheels plus a water vapor. I'm not a scientist, but yeah, basically,
I don't know what any of that meant.
Basically, what this really means is that a fuel cell vehicle is technically a series hybrid, which is why they're sometimes classified as fuel cell hybrid electric vehicles. So the only emission, the only thing that comes out of the exhaust pipe is water vapor for these hydrogen cars.
What?
I know. So then you're like, well, what are the cons?
Yeah.
Hydrogen cars have a lot of the same positive features as battery electric cars. They're smooth, they're quiet, they're peaceful to drive, and they emit no carbon emissions. They also lack the charging time problem that EVs have. It takes just 5 minutes or so to refuel them for another 300 miles. But there are some disadvantages. The most challenging being the availability of hydrogen fuel. While plans a decade ago called for California to have 100 hydrogen stations by now, in reality, the number is about 60. So mainly it's the problem with hydrogen is they don't have the infrastructure similar to EVs, and hydrogen fuel is a lot more expensive.
Hmm.
It's going to cost anywhere from like 18-ish dollars a gallon.
Wow. I can't. Okay. So
that's not a little bit like, I know that wasn't a very good explanation. That's because I literally just read about this morning. It's just like not something that's like really making waves. And I think it did make waves. I think the Obama administration was working really hard on hydrogen. And I guess just like EVs took off and like hydrogen didn't, or like Tesla took off, because I think Tesla's or all electric vehicles, it's like, anyone can charge them. You just need electricity in your house, which everybody has. This,
yeah,
like we complain about the EV infrastructure, which is one thing, but like you could all charge it at your house. You can't pump hydrogen at your house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So some other cons. This is from Consumer Reports. Some other cons. It says this space age technology is expensive. Acceptable range requires extremely high pressure onboard hydrogen storage. There's few places to refuel, and hydrogen is very expensive to transport, and there's no infrastructure in place yet. Currently, hydrogen fuel is made by a non-renewable natural gas in a process that creates a lot of CO2 emissions. So also the process of creating hydrogen, like although the car itself isn't putting out emissions,
yeah,
to make electricity, like they're burning coal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's just interesting. So anyway.
So it doesn't really sound, it sounds like the cons are outweighing their pros.
Well, I don't know. I think it sounds kind of like, I don't know. Not going to give stock advice, but I thought it was interesting that GM, who just rolled back their EV production, got a $26 million grant for hydrogen fuel cells trucks.
Yeah, no, that's interesting.
So like maybe hydrogen's up and coming.
Maybe.
Just
trend alert.
Just
hydrogen.
Something to think about. Okay, I know that was a bad, boring explanation, but I'm just saying if this comes up.
No, Kel, it's good to know. Like, I had never heard of this prior to this moment. So it's good to know.
I had heard rumblings and I just didn't know a lot about it.
I hadn't even heard a rumble.
I'm going to continue to like look it up. Because I'm kind of like.
I think you should.
I'm kind of like super interested.
Okay. Well, thanks for spilling that hot tea.
Yeah, that was the hot tea going on in the auto industry.
Oh, was that your only story?
Well, it was a big story, I thought.
No, so, it was a big story.
So I'm going to keep it. And I would love, like, if anyone has a hydrogen car, like, oh, do you want to know which manufacturers make hydrogen cars?
I do. Yes. I meant to ask that question.
Okay. Hold on. Let me tell you. Do you want to guess?
No.
Okay. You never want to guess.
No, I do always usually guess. But Kelly, I'm so delirious right now. I can't do it.
Since 2015. What?
2015?
Three hydrogen-powered cars have been offered for sale from three different car companies. The Honda Clarity Fuel Cell, the Hyundai Nexo SUV, and the Toyota Miura. But Honda has now ended the production of all models of the Clarity, and Hyundai has sold fewer than 1,500 Nexo SUVs so far. Toyota, the company most devoted to hydrogen power as an alternative to battery electric vehicles, sold roughly 10,000 Miura sedans across two generations in the U.S. Can you buy any of these cars?
Yeah, what? Like, who is buying them?
I don't know. I feel like someone, like, buried everything we know about hydrogen. And maybe I'm missing something. And if someone is an expert or, like, knows someone who's an expert, we should probably get someone on here. But I just, like, $26 million is not something to, like, put your nose up about.
No.
And that's federal funding, meaning it's from the government. Oy. So just remember that.
Okay. Kel, I have a quick advice question. I just, like, want to make sure we're, like, getting to some. So this comes from Jen. Explorer, bench, or captains? She says, my husband and I fell in love with the Ford Explorer, and we are looking to buy one soon, but can't decide if we want the bench or captain chairs. You just railed the Explorer, so hopefully she still likes it, despite your opinions. We have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. We are thinking about having another baby in a year or two. Was curious if you thought the Explorer would work for three across with a 6-year-old. Not sure if he'll be in a booster right away. One forward-facing car seat, one infant car seat, or if you think captain chairs with the 6-year-old in the third row would be better. Have you tried three across in the Explorer?
What year did they say?
They didn't.
So you need the new Explorer. I think the body changed in 2020. That one is much better for three across than the previous generation. So, like, I would recommend that. It's not my three across pick.
Okay.
My three across better alternatives to me would be the Atlas, the Pilot. Those are kind of my two favorites in the midsize category.
Okay.
I can't say I've tried, like, a combination with an infant seat, a convertible seat, and a booster seat. I haven't tried that combination. But the biggest thing, and this is just where, like, the midsize category, I think, is really difficult for families of three kids or more. Because let's say you end up going with the captain's chairs and you put a child back there. And I've talked to this 100 times, but, like, you don't have any trunk space then.
Yeah. And you're not bringing a stroller.
And a lot of families want to say, well, I'll put down a portion of the third row and then I'll put the stroller on the other side. And just like, and, like, this is something I never even thought about until I became a CPST and, like, worked in this field for the last 4 years. The problem with that is, like, you can't put a stroller next to a child.
Yeah.
Because then if you get in a collision, like, where's the stroller going? Mm-hmm. It's just, like, really scary. And, like, the other problem with even just captain's chairs is, like, if you get captain's chairs and put down the third row, you can't go to Costco and get a gallon of milk. Because mm-hmm. then if you get in a collision, where's that going? Especially with rear-facing kids, it's going right through the captain's chairs.
Yeah.
So what I like about, I really just think, like, best practice is to have a full barrier between your trunk and yourself. So if it's a bench seat, put down the third row, you've got that barrier. If not, you kind of have to look at the third row trunk space and say, like, is this enough for my daily life? Mm-hmm. So I would say, I mean, personally for the Explorer, like, I'm kind of opted to say, like, since it's not my favorite bench seat and the most versatile bench seat, I'm kind of opted to say, like, get the captain's chairs, but make sure you feel good about the trunk space. And yeah, that's where I just feel like the Honda Pilot and the Atlas offer more trunk space than the Explorer and more versatility for three across. And I think those would be the better options. And I don't hate the Explorer, but the Explorer, it's just not very versatile. That's all.
Okay. I think that was a good answer, Kel.
Thanks. Okay. Are you ready for Ditch the Drive-Thru, where we share an easy dinner recipe to mix it up to get you out of your dinner rut? Mm-hmm. Okay. First of all, I just think we all need to put back on our Pinterest hats from 2010 and remember who was making waves, making recipes, and whose recipes still smack to this day.
Yes. Oh, that's what we should do. What? How have I never thought to go to my Pinterest board for ditch the drive-thrus?
Wait. Do you know who I'm going to say?
No, I have no idea.
The Pioneer Woman.
Oh, Pioneer Woman.
Okay,
yeah.
First of all, I make her shrimp scampi iconic, so easy. And I have both of her dinner cookbooks. And you know what? You look through there and you're like, this is just like family-friendly meals. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And are they all like the most lowest cal? No. But are they still like home cooked?
Here's the thing. Like,
I'm not after low cal. I'm after home cooked.
Yeah. And you and mom are the same way, because if mom's like, I need to make a ziti or a scampi, or like if I need to make something, she's like, go see if the Pioneer Woman has a recipe, because it's like you could find any recipe online, but like, you know, the Pioneer Woman's recipe is going to be good.
It's going to be good. And she is serving a family. Mm. And the more I have four kids on my mind, the more I'm like, I will be feeding a small army.
Yeah.
And I need to be very smart in the kitchen. Yes. And like cook. Basically, I need to start cooking in bulk.
Yeah.
I mean, we killed an entire Costco meatloaf. I make my chichi pie pie in a cast iron. We eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
Tyler eats a ton, granted. So anyway, mom, we were at the farm this weekend and mom made baked ziti.
Yeah.
And it was the most delicious pasta. And I was so like, good. Whose recipe was this? She goes, it's just Pioneer Woman's. Because of course it was.
Yeah.
Because she's so right. Before I go to Google, I'm going to the Pioneer Woman's website.
Yes.
And I'm
absolutely
seeing what she's done. Okay. Her baked ziti. I thought ziti was kind of just like pasta, marinara, ground beef. Mm-hmm. No. This is like a lasagna, but you don't have to mess with the layering. So you do garlic, onion, Italian sausage, ground beef. She gets the whole can of tomatoes. She's not scared. But then she goes in with the ricotta, the mozzarella, the grated Parmesan, and she makes a little cheese mixture. She makes a little meat sauce mixture. She makes all this ziti. Like ziti noodles. And it was such a comfort meal. Such a good thing to throw in your freezer. Such
great
a good
leftovers.
Thing to double and give it to the next person, aka love your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Go give one to a neighbor. Mm-hmm. Obsessed. And I'm getting my Pioneer cookbook. I'm cooking out of her cookbook. That's my
new
thing.
Yeah, I don't think I have one of her cookbooks. I need to get one. The ziti was incredible. It was so good. I was there with her when she was making it. She made it all beforehand. So by the time we were ready for dinner, all she had to do was pop it in the oven and like heat it up and we were good to go.
And I was with her, I was at the farm with her all day, and she literally made the ziti while she was like still cooking breakfast. I'm not saying it's not a one pot dish.
You got to chop an onion.
Yeah. And it's messy. But then the fact that we had like a hearty pasta dish that all we had to do was we had a great day at the farm and we threw that in. It's like, talk about forecasting.
Yeah. Forecasting.
Obsessed. Baked ziti. I'm going to be making. I might replace my October lasagnas, which I will need to be making in August this year. Because I will be having. But part of me thinks like, I think I'm going to have so much time with the new baby. Because I'll send the other kids will go to daycare.
Yeah.
I think I can make lasagnas at home. Well, that's a September problem. August problem. And Liz, I think that's our episode.
Definitely. I think so. So thank you so much for listening to the Carpool Podcast. We hope you have a fantastic week.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Carpool Podcast with Kelly and Liz. Make sure you're subscribed so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed riding with us, tell everybody you know. There's room in the car for everyone.